Z-Axis Life, seeking truth, setting the captives free, allowing the true self to live.
This episode is about fear. I was asked by a couple of friends to talk about fear because of what's going on in the world right now. And I said, well, I'll let you know when I figure it out. Fear is something that I've only recently been learning how to deal with. For 3 long years, I have mostly been learning about the love facet in the power zone. Power is the combination of wisdom and mercy. And so most of the lessons that I've learned have been in that zone. So fear is a new one for me. Fear is actually the opposite of peace, or the lack of peace. And if you had asked me a few years ago if I had a lot of fear, if I had a lot of anxiety, I would have said no. My mom said that the other day. My mom has Asperger's syndrome, and it's very common for Asperger's syndrome to be comorbid with anxiety. I'd go so far as to say anxiety disorder. Not all of them have it, but my daughter definitely does, and my mother does. She was a very overprotective mother, and she's an overprotective dog mother. She has a cute little poodle mix that she's very protective of. And if you had asked me if she was riddled with fear and anxiety, I would have said yes. And yet when she's asked straight up if she has any fear, she's like, no. But look, I can't blame her, because I would have said the same thing as little as just 6 months ago, a year ago. And so I think when it comes to dealing with fear, the first step that I have had to take about my fears is to admit them, which has been, I resisted. Let's put it that way. I don't know what it is about admitting fear. I guess it makes us feel weak or not courageous or something, but there's a inherent resistance to admitting that you're afraid. And so I was reading one of the books that I read to help inspire me, and she says to walk through your fear. I was like, well, I can't walk through a fear if I don't know what the heck I'm afraid of. So I got on my journal, which I write in almost every day. Not as a chore, it's a processing technique. She calls it meditation, but I don't like to call it meditation. I just like to call it processing, or thinking out loud, right? Thinking through writing, making sense of things. And I started writing my fears, and I thought I'd come up with maybe 3 or 4. Guess what? I wrote down a whole page, a page of fears. And I was like, my eyes went this big. I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that I was afraid of this many things. And boy, it sure explained a lot. It explained why I was standing still. Fear has a way of doing that to us. It makes us stand still. It makes us stagnate. It's like deer in the headlights, right? Some of my fears were completely, well, they were all irrational, right? That's the nature of fear, most of them. But some of them were, it was so weird. I said, well, I'm afraid to create. And the very next sentence that came out was, I'm afraid to not create. How does that make sense? I couldn't believe that came out of my head, but it rang true. And one of them was, I'm afraid of death. I think I would like to go around saying, I'm not afraid of death. I believe in reincarnation, and I believe that we'll come around again, and I believe that we enter the spirit world when we die, and there's tons of near-death experiences that people you can read about that prove that. But what we know intellectually doesn't always translate to what we know in our heart. And I think if it came right down to it, I am afraid of death. And I'll give you an example why. The other night, I'm falling asleep. It's like 10 o'clock, right? And I'm in my cabin. Obviously, you can see it's a cabin. And I'm not in the woods. The property's in the woods. There's really no trees around me because of the winds. It's not smart. But there are woods beyond the property. And I'm falling asleep, and I hear this sliding noise. It sounds like somebody is pulling a blind down in the living room, right? A shade. And I'm in the bed, and I'm like, what is that? And a few minutes later, maybe a minute later, I hear a big crash outside my bedroom window. I'm like, oh my God, I know what that is. It's a bear. Yeah, it's a bear. Now look, I'm in the western North Carolina mountains. We don't have grizzlies. They're just black bears. They're largely harmless. But I lay in that bed thinking, okay, I really should get up and confirm that this is a bear, because I'm going to want to tell this story and people are going to ask me, are you sure it was a bear? So I'm like, well, I should get up and make sure that it's a bear so I can tell people. I could not move. Could not move. I'm like, I am not getting up. I don't care if my front door is locked. I don't care if my windows are shut. I don't want to get up and turn the light on out there and look at a bear almost eye to eye. It would be, what, 5 feet away from me? I couldn't do it. My front door is a glass door. Oh my God, what if I looked out there and there was a bear standing on the other side of that glass staring at me? I think I'd pee in my pants. So I didn't get up. I waited a good 3 or 4 minutes before hearing no more noise. And then I got up. And of course, the bear was long gone. And the stack of wood was collapsed and the grill cover was off. And I thought, man, what a coward you are. Don't do that. Next time you hear this, get up and go look for the bear. Well, guess what? Two nights later, same noise, sliding noise. I knew exactly what it was. I'm in the bed, same time. I guess I'm part of his rounds. And you know what I did? I stayed in the bed again. I didn't get up again. And in my head, I'm like, okay, you know what? It was easy to be a after game quarterback. And last time say, well, why didn't you get up, you dodo head? And here I am. It's happening again. I planned it out. I knew it would probably happen. And yet I was still glued to the covers in my bed. And I realized, I am afraid of death. I'm afraid of being mauled. Too. You know, there's death, like cyanide death, and then there's bear mauling death, which are completely different things, in my opinion. And I remember several years ago, after a particularly rough therapy session, that the next day I was at the gun store and I knew exactly what kind of gun to buy, a long barrel revolver. and I picked up that gun, those things are heavy. And I knew that I didn't have the courage to do it. I wasn't that certain of what was on the other side. I wasn't certain that I wouldn't end up in some sort of eternal fires of hell or something. Now I'm more comfortable with death than I was then, but I don't know that I am totally comfortable with it. I don't know how many of us would really be honest if we were to say we weren't afraid of death to some degree. I suppose if I had some sort of terminal illness, I would have to come to terms with it. But I have other fears. I have fears about talking about these things publicly, about negative comments, what people will think of me. I have fears about running out of money, being destitute. I actually have a fear about being successful. Isn't that one weird? You'd think that no one would have that fear, but I think it's more common than we realize. I have a fear of making comfortable money. What if I make enough to be comfortable, or even more than I need to be comfortable, and then it goes away? And I looked at all these fears and I realized this is why I'm standing still. Within a couple days, a friend of mine said, "Oh, did you hear the Jordan Peterson podcast? He said your potential is equal to the sum of all your fears." I'm like, "Oh, how appropriate. Well, my potential must be huge." And so step one to deal with fear is to name it. Bring it into the conscious mind. Be willing to admit it, that you have it. Sometimes that's the hardest step. Then what the heck do you do? The zone of power, I knew how to get answers in that zone on my spiritual growth path. I use this skill of self-awareness to write and work through exactly what I'm thinking, to admit that which I don't want to admit. And then I go down as far as I can about what I'm feeling, why I'm feeling that, what my true motivation is, what my true desires, goals, dreams, hopes, whatever it is that I want to happen. And sometimes I see what I need to see. Other times I don't. And I go the next step, which is asking the divine to help me see. And within 24 hours, I get an answer. Almost invariably, unless I don't want to listen. So that process I'm very familiar with. But I don't know, I think dealing with fear is a different animal. I'm real good at expressing anger. Trust me, I'm very good at that. My swimming pool noodle gets a lot of use. And I'm very good at crying. If you listen to this podcast any length of time, you'll know that. But how in the heck do you feel fear? I wasn't even familiar with that. How do you discharge fear in the body? I have learned that it primarily causes me to shake. And my heart beats fast. And so if I really want fear to fully discharge, I don't try to calm myself down. I don't try to take deep breaths. I actually let that heart race as fast as it wants. I let my breathing go as quick as it wants. And if it's really intense, I will allow my body to shake. And that helps a lot. Letting an emotion fully discharge is huge. It can lead to insight, It can. What it does is it finally allows the thinking brain to engage rather than a reptilian brain of emotion. But this walking through the fear, I've never done before. And so I didn't quite know how to do that. But I think it goes something like this. What if we play out those fears and we assume that whatever we're going to fear will happen? Will happen. There is no if. There is no possible. There is no maybe. What if what we fear definitely will happen? Now play that out. There's something very freeing about that. Knowing that when I post these podcasts and these videos, I will get negative comments. I will get negative feedback. I will get judgment, criticism, whatever you want to call it. I'm free to post whatever the heck I want. I don't have to modify my behavior to try to mitigate something that may or may not happen. Another way of putting this is, whatever it is you fear to lose, go ahead and grieve it. Go ahead and lose it. Then the fear will have no more power over you. The third thing that really helps, besides naming a fear and walking through it, which includes experiencing it in the body, would be to uncover the lie that gives rise to the fear. Every fear is based on a lie, every single one, with no exception. If we lived in complete truth, like God does, like Jesus does, we would have nothing to fear. So the fact that we have a fear means there's a lie afoot that we believe in. So if I'm afraid to post something, what is that lie? Well, it could be any number of things depending on how deep you want to go. It could be my value is not determined by other people. Or the lie is that my value is determined by other people. The lie could be every person's opinion has credibility and matters. Not everybody's opinion has credibility. It could be every comment has merit and is carefully considered and takes into account compassion for me. Heck no. Heck no. There are a lot of people out there who don't have any compassion for others, who want nothing more than to feel self-righteous, to be proud, and to be better than others. People who take glee in bringing other people down, who may not be perfect, but at least are trying to be better people. Those are just some examples of the lies that would give rise to a fear of criticism. As for the state of the world, you know, up to now, well, I've been one of those food storage hoarders. If that gives you any clue, the state of the world scares the you-know-what out of me. It's been going downhill for a while, but with COVID, it brought it home, right? One could ignore a lot of the corruption and a lot of the financial mess because it didn't really enter into your own wallet or your own household. But with COVID, I was all of a sudden not able to go into certain places. I wasn't able to transact business like I normally do. I wasn't able to smile at people that I came across in the stores or in the streets. It really brought it into my daily awareness, and some of it I couldn't escape. And now here we are with inflation, the cost of everything going up, 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 and really no end in sight. It's not just that everything's more expensive now, it's knowing it will get even more expensive tomorrow. That's what induces the fear. Fear is almost always about the future. It's about physical welfare or financial welfare or the fear of future emotional suffering. So what do you do when what's happening in the world is now happening in your own living room and in your own car, in your own wallet? I think the prescription is very similar. The biggest challenge is that I know that the correct flow of love is in the peace zone. It's the passive aspect of peace on my love evil wheel. It's called rest or trust in God. Ultimately, what Jesus says is, my Father knows the number of hairs on your head. He provides for the littlest sparrow. Why would he not provide for you? Ultimately, Christ should be the source of our security and our safety and our freedom, not the world and not ourselves. And if we don't trust him to take care of those needs, we will pick it up and take care of them ourselves. The problem is, if you pick it up, the responsibility to assuage your fears, you will be limited to what you can do about them. If I'm afraid of running out of money and out of fear I go get whatever job I can, that's all the money I'll make. And I'll be subject to being laid off or economic downturns or whatever. But if I rely on Christ, my security will be provided abundantly. And I don't mean it's not a passive reliance. It's not a, I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. God will take care of me. That's not what I mean. There's some truths about peace. There's some truths about how much Jesus loves me. There's some truth about who God is. That if I knew those truths, I would know in my heart, not just my head, that he will take care of me. And now that I have that security, I am free to go create. I don't have to run around getting my own security done. I can go create for him. I can follow what he wants me to do and know with certainty that whatever it is he wants me to do will provide me with security. So it's not a sit on your butt type thing. There's still an active seeking to get into the flow of God's will. But this is a tall order. It's something I'm going through right now, and it's not a once and done. This is not a 2-week fix. It took me a long time to get through power, and I'm probably not completely finished with it. I'll probably come back around again and have to deal with how I'm blocked in power again. But it took a long time to go through it this round. I don't expect to get through fear quickly. But as I learn, I will convey what I've learned about it to you. I know that fear is not of the Lord. I know that if we ask his help to give us the truth that we need to see correctly the lies that we're believing, that he will answer us. I wish I could tell you more. I wish I could tell you how I got over my fears. And sadly, I'm not there yet. But I've got a little bit of time before the world completely blows up. But I do know that striving for whatever I fear to not come about is not going to get me anywhere. For more information like this, go to my website, zaccesslife.com. Check out my book, How to Get Over Your Narc in 95 Days, on Amazon. You can also watch these podcasts on YouTube. My channel is called Z-Axis Life.